All right, we're going to take about 45 minutes to talk about things, and then about 15 minutes or so for questions if you have some. If you look at your introduction or your outline of our message tonight, you'll see the introduction. We have the concern for new evangelicalism, the character, commencement, chronology, the celebrities, the churches, the colleges, the correspondence, conferences, and the corpulence. All C's tonight. We're going to have all C's tonight. And then the body, this is still the outline, the body, I guess you can see all that up there. We're going to talk about the claims of new evangelicalism. There are 8 items in that. The characteristics, commingling, that is with Catholicism, charismatism, counterfeit Christianity, communism. And then the compromises of new evangelicalism, the carnality, criticism, and then the conclusions, the consequences, the clones, the condemnation, and the censure. This gives us a picture of the whole concept. Of course, neo means new, and evangelicalism is, they say it's gospel, but it's a new type of gospel. So I call this the cancer of new evangelicalism. The cancer of new evangelicalism is the title that I give to this. First of all, the concern. From 1968 to 1978, about 11 years, I attended each year the meeting of the National Association of Evangelicals as a reporter for the Bible for Today. I've written at least 650 large pages of reports on these meetings entitled, What's Wrong with the National Association of Evangelicals? That's my concern. In 1969, I attended Billy Graham's U.S. Congress on Evangelism in Minneapolis as a reporter again and wrote another 140 pages of reports on that. So this is my concern. I've been to their meetings. It's not that I don't know anything about the new evangelicalism and the National Association of Evangelicals, which is the main group in this country that are sponsoring that movement. Then in 1974, Mrs. Wade and I went to Lausanne, Switzerland, and attended as reporters for the Bible for Today, Billy Graham's International Congress on World Evangelization. Wrote another 250 pages of reports on those meetings. So these are 3 meetings, very important. And then in addition, above reports, I have over 1,000 pages in length. I've written many other hundreds of pages in the area of new evangelicalism. So that's my concern through the years. I've had a concern and dreaded to see its inroads into the formerly Fundamentalist General Association Regular Baptist Church of the GARBC, with which I was formerly affiliated. And I thought I might be able to stop the trend, but it was as though I had put my finger in a large hole in the bottom of a ship in an effort to stop the water from rushing in. Once new evangelicalism begins, there's no stopping it, apparently. You can try as you wish, but not succeed, and see what you can do, but it will not be stopped. It's unstoppable. Nothing, as we say, seems to be able to stop the steady, subtle, surreptitious, secret, subversive, I believe satanic, rush of both the principles and practices of the evangelical. I believe it's all these adjectives. I'm glad that Pastor Freeman is concerned about the subject and wants it to be presented to his local church. So these are the concerns that I have. And now let's take a look at the character. Do you all have one of these papers? If you don't get some papers, need some papers, why hold up your hand and Pastor will see that you get them. The character of new evangelicalism. In the final analysis, new evangelicalism is a philosophy practiced by men whose chief failure is an unwillingness and a failure to obey 100% of the word and will of God. That's the essence of new evangelicalism. Not 100% obedience to Scripture. Is new evangelicalism of God, of man, or of Satan? That's another question. It's my firm belief that it is of Satan. Anything that is a half-hearted obedience to the Word of God is devilish and of Satan. Now, does that mean that all new evangelicals are satanic or unbelievers? No, I didn't say that. I said the system, the idea, the concept of believing in the Bible, practicing the Bible, whatever you want to practice, that concept is satanic from the word go. Satan is questioning the Word of God in the Garden of Eden, and getting our first parents into sin shows it is of the devil. It has the smell about it, the ring about it, of His Majesty the Devil, as Dr. M. R. D. Hahn Sr. used to call him, His Majesty the Devil. Satan majors in halfway obedience, halfway disobedience to the Word and will of God. Remember, halfway obedience is disobedience. Just a little fruit in the middle of the garden, just a little. Not the eating of the fruit, it's the disobedience to the Word of God and the ways of God. Every time I'm not 100% obedient to the will and Word of God, to the extent of that disobedience, even I myself am a practitioner of the philosophy of evangelicalism, and so are you. Doesn't mean we're unsaved. We can be born again, and many of these people are born again, saved, but they're disobedient Christians by not following the Scripture. Now, Paul wrote of Epaphras that he was, to the Christians in Colossae, that he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that he may stand perfect and complete in all the Word of God and will of God, Colossians 4:12. And that's what God wants us, every one of us, to be complete and perfect in the will of God. Not half-hearted, but full. What about the commencement of New Evangelicalism? When did it begin? Well, the commencement in heaven. I believe it began in heaven. When Lucifer said, I will, seven times to the Lord in Isaiah 14:12 to 24. In this disobedience to the word and will of God, it was satanic. So it started in heaven. That's the commencement in heaven. When he disagreed with God's perfect will, and he wanted to do his own thing. The commencement on earth. When did it begin on earth? Well, when Eve began and being deceived by the satanic serpent, when Eve disobeyed the complete word and will of God, Genesis 3, that was satanic. That's the beginning for commencement on earth. Just a half-hearted obedience, not complete. When Peter, being deceived by Satan, denied the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16, 21 and 23, it was satanic. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, the third day I'm going to rise again from the dead. He didn't believe it. The Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Called him Satan. Satanic, not obeying the complete will of God. The commencement in modern times. The modern time commencement, mentioned by Dr. Carol John Ockengay of this term in 1947 at the convocation of Fuller Theological Seminary. He says this, quote, this is from BFT number 27, which you have, the New Evangelicalism History. The one that looks like this. This is we only had 20 of those, but once for family, I just made 20 up. That's by Brother Bill Diddy. He says, since I coined the phrase of New Evangelicalism at a convocation address at Fuller Theological Seminary 10 years ago, Associated Press release of December 1957 by Ockenheim. Now, in other words, it's 1947 was the coining of this phrase, New Evangelicalism. What about the chronology, the timing of New Evangelicalism? The first use of the term, as we said, the fall of 1947 by Dr. John Harold John Ockengay. I began at Dallas Theological Seminary in 1948, and I remember they started this seminary about that same time. And look at it now. Look where it's gone. It's gone down into charismatism and the charismatic movement. It's gone into many other things. Modernism was there. Disbelief was there. Higher criticism was there. Sad thing. But it began there when he was at Fuller's commencement at that time, 1947. The chronology of evangelicalism, as I say, began in the fall of 47. In 1957, 10 years later, there was in place the following, according to the press release of December 8, 1957. The following were in place and ready to go for this movement, which is half-hearted obedience and half-hearted disobedience to the word and the will of God. The first thing was the National Association of Evangelicals. 1942, that began. As I said, those are the meetings that I went to for many years and as a reporter for our Bible Today. The second thing is the World Evangelical Fellowship. Now, that's the international arm of New Evangelicalism. NAE, the United States, World Evangelical Fellowship. The New Apologetic Literature from Macmillan and Harper came out at the same time. Fuller Theological Seminary, that was their seminary of choice in 1947. Christianity Today was their organ, their secular, not secular, but their theological type of a paper. Evangelist Billy Graham was their evangelist, 1949, came on the scene. He represented what they believe, half-hearted obedience to the Word of God. Just a little bit of obedience, a lot of disobedience intermingled. And there's a quote from the current developments on this of New Evangelicalism. Let me see here. That would be page 11. Let's see if I can quote that. As far as the evangelist Billy Graham, Harold Ockham gave a summary statement. Therefore, one of the purposes of this theological mood and movement is to have a name or designation, namely evangelicalism, which divorces it from the old biblical fundamentalism. That's basically what it is. The definition is given there of that. Difficult to define, but it abandons separation for unscriptural infiltration. That's what they do as far as that is concerned. What about the celebrities of New Evangelicalism? Who were some of the leading lights of that movement? Harold John Ockengay, evangelist Billy Graham, Dr. Charles E. Fuller, Dr. Harold Lindzell, He was a teacher at Fuller for many years. Dr. Carl H. Henry, Dr. Edward John Carnell, Dr. Wilbert Smith, Dr. Edward F. Harrison is another one. I guess that went off the screen on that. Harrison, here it is on this side. Dr. Bernard Ram, Dr. Bernard Grounds, Dr. George Sweeting, he's Moody Bible Institute man for many years. Dr. Bill Bright, Campus Crusade. Dr. Stephen Oldford, he's an NA minister at large. Senator Mark Hatfield, Dr. Robert Cook, he's on the family radio station still. He's dead, but he still goes on the program. King's College, president for many years. Dr. Clyde J. Taylor, he's the national secretary, national director for many years, executive director. Dr. Ben Armstrong, he's with the National Religious Broadcasters. Dr. Rufus Jones, he's with the Conservative Baptist. Dr. Billy Melvin, he was the executive director for many years also. Francis Schaefer, Dr. W.A. Criswell, a Southern Baptist, Dr. Dre Falwell, Dr. Jack Van Impe, started out fundamentalist, turned into new evangelical and compromised, M.R. DeHaan II, not Dr. M.R. DeHaan Sr., he was a fundamentalist, he was the founder of the Radio Bible Class, but the second was certainly new evangelical, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, there with Back to the Bible broadcast, Christine Wirtson, Word of Life, Dr. Charles Stanley, again a Southern Baptist, Charles Swindoll, former president of Dallas Theological Seminary for 5 or 6 years. He's now no longer president. John MacArthur, Jerry Falwell, Dr. Howard Hendricks, professor there at Dallas Seminary, many others. That's from the tentacles of New Evangelicalism. That's this paper here, the Iowa Bible Visitor. You have all that. We have enough for every one of you to take one of those if you didn't get one yet. So all these people, all the personnel who are in that group and are in that group of evangelicalism. Many of people say, well, why do you list all those? Well, we list them because they're in that organization and they want to be listed that way. They're not separatists. The evangelicals are not separatists. They're in the middle of the National Council of Churches on the left, American Council of Churches, and the separatist groups on the right. They're right in the middle. What about the churches in evangelicalism? And the churches, there are 34 member denominations as of 1972. This is an older thing of the NAE. Number 27 there, page 34 and 35, give you those denominational names. The 34 members, Assemblies of God, Baptist General Council, Brethren of Christ, Christian Church of North America, Christian and Missionary Alliance, Christian Union, Church of God, Church of the United Brethren in Christ, Churches of Christ in Christian Union, Conservative Congregational Christian Conference, Elam Missionary Assemblies, Evangelical Church of North America, Evangelical Congregational Church, Evangelical Free Church of America, Evangelical Friends Church, Evangelical Mennonite Brethren Church, Evangelical Mennonite Church, Evangelical Methodist Church of Wichita, Kansas, the Free Methodist Church, General Conference of Brethren Church, International Church of Four Square Gospel, International Pentecostal Assemblies, a lot of Pentecostals in the NAE, Mennonite Brethren Church, Midwest Congregational of Christian Fellowship, Missionary Church, National Association of Free Will Baptists. This group, by the way, voted out at their NA meeting in 1972. The Open Bible Standard Churches, Pentecostal Church of Christ, Pentecostal Church of God, Pentecostal Evangelical Church, Pentecostal Holiness Church, Primitive Methodist Church, Reformed Presbyterian of North America, and Western Church. And then the local churches from the following groups are in the NAE. Various others at the bottom of page 35, various ones, I won't read them, but some in the American Baptist Convention, which is in the World Council of Churches. You see, they have dual membership. You can be in the National Council of Church type of group, and you can be in the NAE, National Association of Evangelicals. Church of the Brethren is in the World Council, National Council. Presbyterian Church in the U.S. is in the WCC and World Council. Reformed Church in America is in the National and World Council. And then some from the Southern Baptist. United Methodist Church, you have some churches in the United Methodist Church, which is in the National and World Council. United Presbyterian Church, USA, also National and World Council. And so the church is there, local church for 26 other denominations. And, of course, the National Association of Evangelicals boasts of these things. Southern Baptist Convention, some of the churches are in it. Many independent churches, even some formerly fundamentalist in stance. Now the colleges, let's go to the colleges. Where do you send your students? If you want to be a new evangelical, where do you send them? Well, at least 16 new evangelical Bible institutes and colleges and seminaries are listed. On this number 27, you have, some of you, page 23 and 24. But the Bible Institutes, for instance, Biola, Bible Institute of Los Angeles, Moody Bible Institute, my wife is a graduate of that school. Colleges are Bible colleges, Barrington College, Bethel College, Bryan University. My granddaughter went for a couple of semesters there at Bryan. Gordon College, Houghton College, King's College, Nyack College, Philadelphia College of Bible, that's a new name, of course, Wheaton College, some of these colleges of New Evangelicalism, seminaries, Bethel Seminary, Conservative Baptist Seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, my school, Gordon Conwell Seminary, Trinity Seminary, near Chicago, Illinois. These are the seminaries. But what about the correspondence, the written materials and so on, publications? That's important for any movement. At least 10 new evangelical publications. The Alliance Weekly, Christian Life, Christianity Today, Decision, Eternity, Moody Monthly, Sunday School Times, United Evangelical Action, World Vision, Youth for Christ, and so on. Now, these are old ones. We've got the new, of course, the World Magazine. That's new evangelical and so on. That's come out others since then. But many publishing houses. Erdmann's is new evangelical. Kriegel, Loazzo, that's no longer in existence. They went out of business. I understand the bus ministry, Dr. Walter Beebe, has bought out all their stock of materials and books by H.A. Ironside, various other things. They're out of business. But Zondervan, Word. Zondervan's the one that's got out this new international version, and the other, the new one, the new international version into the INIV, whatever it's the gender neutral. The Word is another publishing house, InterVarsity Press, Nelson, Heffernan Row, Baker Bookhouse, many others. The publishing houses are there, the correspondent of New Evangelicals. What about the conferences? They have many conferences. U.S. Congress on Evangelism in Minneapolis in 1969. Billy Graham was there. I was there again with press credentials on that. International Congress and World Evangelization was on Switzerland in 1974. Again, Billy Graham was the head man there, the chairman. My wife and I attended that as press people. Many other conferences of Billy Graham for itinerant evangelists and so on. At least 5 new evangelical youth movements. Campus Crusade, Child Evangelism International, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Youth for Christ International, Young Life. So these are quite widespread and quite far-reaching groups. At least 4 mission movements or programs. Evangelical Foreign Missions Association, EFMA, is of the NAE. The Interdenominational Foreign Missions Association, IFMA. Evangelism in Depth in Latin and Central America. A New Life for All in Africa, and many more. What about the corpulence of new evangelicals? How well-to-do, how fat are they financially? That's what corpulence means. Well-to-do, with all the publishers, publications, schools, the churches that are on the side of new evangelicalism, certainly they are corpulent and truly fat cats rolling in money. That's exactly true. They've got the funds. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, revelation of over $10 million in trust funds or something in that neighborhood. The well-to-do TV, radio, and TV evangelists that are new evangelicals. They're corpulent, they're fat, they have plenty of money. There's no problem with that. Do you have any questions on that before we go on to the body, or should I continue? Maybe I should continue. Do not stop. I may get started again. All right, let's go to the body of the material. First, the claims of new evangelicalism. The quote again from Current Developments in New Evangelicalism. There are 8 characteristics, 4 doctrinal, 4 ecclesiastical, educational, and academic. The characteristics of new evangelicalism. First, there is a commingling, that is a mixing together. First, Catholicism and new evangelicalism. Billy Graham's change. He didn't mingle to start with, but now he's got Roman Catholic priests in the advisory room, in the council room. Sometimes he's been on the platform. He thinks the Pope is one of the greatest Christians, and so on and so forth. He's made many statements. But Catholicism, it's commingling with the new evangelicalism. Then there's commingling with charismatism, the charismatic movement, and new evangelicalism. The NAE has many charismatic people in it. Pentecostal groups. In fact, the president, I guess, recently was Pentecostal. Billy Graham's change and that of Jerry Falwell with PTL and so on, with charismatic movement. Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe used to be a separatist fundamentalist and quoted everything from scriptures. And he knows a lot of the Bible, but all of a sudden he began to get popular and got all the groups in with him to pay for the money, pay for his campaigns. And so he got into charismatic movement, some of the liberal movements and so on. And then the counterfeit Christianity and new evangelicalism. That's another commingling, counterfeit. Billy Graham's linked with the National Council, World Council of Churches, Ministerial Council and so on. I was at one of Billy Graham's meetings. I was at the World Council of Churches meeting, covering it as a reporter. Billy Graham addressed the National Council of Churches. And he ended up and he said something to the effect that, well done, or may the Lord bless you, or continue some straight saying. He's not against the National World Council because he has these men in his campaigns constantly. So there's a commingling of a counterfeit Christianity in new evangelicalism. It doesn't take long before new evangelicalism to come into full-blown liberalism and unbelief. then a commingling of communism and the results. Billy Graham went to Russia, to China, Romania, communist country, came back and said, there's freedom there, they're free to preach the gospel. He was greatly amazed about this freedom. They're not free, as we're in this country at all, but there's a commingling of that. Then the compromises of evangelicalism. There's a conciliation, first of all, no separation. They take away the come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. But infiltrate, that's the infiltrate. Now conciliate, there's a cloudiness in doctrine. Doctrine is not straight and clear, it's cloudy. There's a cowardliness in facing the enemies of the Word of God. They'd rather be a friend of the National World Council of Churches, the modernists and liberals in town. They'd rather be on their councils and on their conventions and so on, to be friendly so they get bigger meetings. Then there's a condoning of all unscriptural practices, many of these unscriptural practices condoned. Why talk about the Billy Graham recent meetings? I was told, I didn't see it, but on the TV recently, Billy Graham, he had a solid rock, absolute rock music that was on his broadcast and on his TV program to appeal to the young people with all the drums and everything else, a condoning of different things. But then, just before he preached, here was George Beverly Shea, a stage, regular singing regular music, so he mixes the two, the contemporary and the others. And then there's a cleverness in approach in advertising. There's a cleverness in the way they advertise themselves and sort of to draw not attention to themselves that they're not doing what they should be doing. Then there's the capture of former citadels of fundamentalism, both churches and schools. Churches and schools that used to be fundamentalists and separatists and sound have been taken over and captured by the new evangelicals. And that's a sad situation. And then there's a circumvention of the Word of God. They go around it. They don't believe it. They don't want to accept it in its fullness. And these are some of the characteristics of that movement. And then there's conjecture. There's conjecture. Lots of important matters of doctrine are just, they think that this is right. For instance, in the matter of the universal flood, that's the thing that Harold John Ockingay, there at Boston, University of Boston, the Massachusetts for many years, Park Street Church, he said that flood is not universal. Just a pear-shaped flood, just a local flood, and so on. Various other things, conjecture. Then there's casuistry in methodology. That's the end justifies the means. That's like the Jesuit. And that's what and I remember Bob Jones Sr., I was quoted at least, said never do right, do wrong in order to do right. Never do wrong in order to do right down the line. See, it's a casuistry, the end justifies the means. If I can get some souls saved, who cares? If I invite the modernists and Roman Catholics and the communists and everybody else, and who cares if I send them back into those same churches to be nourished by liberalism and apostasy? The end justifies me. If I can get them saved, that's what I want. So casuistry. Then there's concessions to the enemies. Concessions on the Word of God, concessions on music, concessions on methodology. Then there's no combat. New evangelicals are not combating. But the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. No controversy, no conviction, no confrontation. They don't want to be confrontational. Just move into the background and blend. And then the carnality of new evangelicalism. Cocktails and new evangelicalism. First of all, Billy Graham and drinking wine. John MacArthur, total abstinence only for preachers and deacons. The rest of the Christians, no rules. They call it legalism if there are any biblical rules. Carnality and the new evangelical cigarettes. And they don't take a position on cigarettes. And cigars. I got to get my C's in here. So we got some cigars, cigarettes, cocktails, any teas that come to mind. There's carnality. Chastity in new evangelicalism. There's variation in standards in many matters of sex and marriage. They don't take a position as I do. I don't know what your church does. I don't want to go against what your church, but I believe in marriage for life. I believe I'm against the scriptures that are against the divorce. They're against the remarriage. And there's all kinds of stands taken on the matters of sex and marriage. And there's a softening on that area. Then cards. They don't care about playing with the devil's cards and so on. They just go ahead. There's no standards in that regard. The cinema and new evangelicalism. Movies, carnal TV, videos. There's not a stance against it. See, they want to be controversial. Just do whatever you want to do, and young people do whatever you want to see and look at what you want to see. Choreography, new evangelicalism. The dance. Go ahead and dance. Go ahead and whatever that leads to as far as carnality, chastity and unchastity and fornication, adultery. Go ahead and dance. I used to dance. In fact, before I was saved, I used to dance. Then I had a dance band, 15-piece dance orchestra. And I thought, well, now that I got the orchestra, I don't dance because I was saved after that. Kept the orchestra for a while. Then I thought, my man that led me to the Lord, Uncle Charlie, the my high school janitor, he said, well, if you didn't have the band up there, there wouldn't be dancing. I came through eventually, and I got rid of the band, but choreography, dance, cosmetics, and the result of it. Excessive makeup, worldly dresses, mini skirts, long haired men, short women, short haired women. There's no standard in New Evangelicalism on cosmetics and decor. They have bikinis, trikinis, whatever. Swimming, mixed swimming is a crazy thing anyhow. It gets you into trouble. But then choristry in New Evangelicalism. Choristry. Abandoning many godly hymns in favor of rock music, soft rock, temporary Christian music, so-called worship and praise music. This is New Evangelicalism. We just left the membership of a large church over 100 years old. And we left it because they changed from the King James Bible to the New King James. But now I understand that pastor has come in and he's got the things on the screen as far as choruses. They don't call them hymns, just sing a song here and there. There's all kinds of changes. They've got a worship leaders. They've got two or three worship leaders coming up here. They got their guitars. This is an old stage church of 100 years. It just takes one pastor to get him into the New Evangelical Compromise. It's a so-called fundamentalist church on doctrine, but in practice they have these things. And there's coldness in New Evangelicalism. There's a lack of real spiritual warmth in this whole movement because they don't follow the scriptures, the Word of God. That's where the warmth is, where you follow the Word of God. The criticism by New Evangelicalism of fundamentalists. Their criticism is only toward fundamentalists. It's not toward the modernists, not toward the liberals, not toward the atheists, not toward the Roman Catholics, not toward the communists, but there's toward the fundamentalists, the separatists, us who believe things in the scriptures and want to obey them completely. Castigation, cartoons, they make cartoons of us like that. Combativeness, oh, they fight us, not the devil, not the devil's crowd, they fight us. Controversy, Jack Bennett, these two books, In the Heart, and the latest one, Sin's Exposure, issue 84, Blasting the Militant Fundamentalists. They've got cliches. No fun, too much damn, no metal. That's fun, damn, mentalist. No fun, too much damn, no metal. We're silly. We're ignorant. Or Howard Hendricks of Dallas Seminary. I went to school with Howard Hendricks in Dallas. He said, you might be a fundamentalist, but you don't have to act like that. It's just cartoons and cliches, computation of anything that we teach. Color, more charity or love. There's color against the fundamentalists, at least, hatred and malice, indeed. What about the conclusion? Well, the consequences of New Evangelicalism, the younger generation is lost. Quibido's book, The World Evangelicals, shows the drain the younger evangelicals. You can't keep a movement that's unbelieving and disbelieving in all the counsel of God. You can't keep it straight. And the young evangelicals are moving it farther toward the worldly, liberalism, than the clones of New Evangelicalism. There's some clones. We have some fundamentalists who are moving from there to pseudo-fundamentalists, like Jerry Falwell, then into neo-evangelicalism, and then like Fuller Samurai into liberalism, perhaps. There's a movement, and these are clones. They're trying to get the characteristics of New Evangelicalism. The General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. I've been in that thing. I was in that thing for many years. Got out of it many years ago when they started drifting so bad. I was a naval chaplain on active duty for 5 years on active duty with the endorsement of the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. I was ordained as a minister in one of our local churches in Ohio, and that's going through the battle right now. In fact, this was several years ago, but the results don't look too good. Look at the turnover. The last Council of 18, June 1988, the chairman of the Council of 18, Bill Rudd, recently taking some of the people to Promise Keepers and writing an article justifying Promise Keepers in the so-called separatist, fundamentalist General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Dr. Robert D. Ketchum certainly would oppose this, but the drift is there, clones are there, and it's a catching sort of a situation. What about the condemnation of evangelicalism? It is condemned in the scriptures. The censure of the scriptures of this cancer system, there's 14 key passages, many others. Let's look at a few. First of all, Genesis 1, verse 4. Separation. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He's a divider of light and darkness. That word for separation is bara in Hebrew. It's a primitive root to divide, variations to various senses, literally or figuratively, to separate, to distinguish, to differ, to select, to put a difference, to divide asunder, to make separate. That's what God believes in. Then in verse 7 of Genesis 1, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide. Here's a dividing. The waters from the waters. Genesis 1, 6. God made the firmament. Divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Again, it was so. God is a separatist, right from Genesis chapter 1. That's the censor of New Evangelicalism. Then in Genesis 1, 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide. Again, to divide. day from the night, that would be for signs and seasons and so on. In Genesis 1:18, to rule over the day, over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Again, to divide, Baba. God saw that it was good. And then Hosea 7, verse 8, Ephraim has mixed himself, a cake not turned. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Hosea 7, verse 8. A cake not turned, not either this way or that way, it's just sort of in between. It's not done clearly through. Amos 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Except they be agreed. You can't walk together with the Lord unless you agree with His word, and unless you agree with following it completely. Then Haggai 2, verses 12 to 14. Here's secondary separation. Now, people like to say there's primary separation, secondary separation, tertiary separation. Maybe there's a fourth type. It's all separation, but notice the scripture, secondary separation. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? If you have something that's clean, if you touch something else, will that make it holy? See, holy flesh, touching the other thing. And the priest shall say, and answer and said, no, it will not make it holy. Just to have clean flesh, put it on the dirty. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. You take an unclean thing, put it on a clean thing, it dirties it. Take a clean thing, put it on an unclean thing, it will not make it clean. But uncleanliness always defiles cleanliness. This is a principle of secondary separation, or separation general. And then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work in their hand. That which they offer there is unclean. That which they offer is unclean, because they're besmirched, and that's what's happening. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus said, every word shall man live by. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word must be obeyed. We're not to choose what we want to believe, what we don't want to believe, what we want to practice, what we don't want to practice. God's told us to practice everything that's in His Scripture, and the new evangelicals do not wish to do so. They want to pick and choose what they're to obey and what not to obey. Romans 16, 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. That's what we've done tonight. We've labeled schools, colleges, churches, organizations, men, different things. Mark. We've marked them. God says to avoid them. Why? Because if they're causing divisions, offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, contrary to the scriptures, God does not want you to commingle with them. Otherwise, you'll learn their ways. Then in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and following, there's an incestuous man. It is reported commonly there is fornication among you. Such fornication is not as much so named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And ye are puffed up, and not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. God's principle of separation is to take away the unclean, take away the sinful person out of the church until he repents, comes back to the Lord, bring him back in, but take him away. Take away from among you. This is a principle that the new evangelicals reject. Then in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Confusion is something, in fact, verse 40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. The decently and in order means the following of the scriptures so that we have them in obedience. Then the chapter that's the norm on separation, 2 Corinthians 6, 14-7:1. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that's in the present tense prohibition. In Greek language, the present prohibition means to stop an action already begun. It's an aorist prohibition, don't even begin something. This is stop an action already begun. Stop being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is God's condemnation, God's censorship of the new evangelical world and of their methodology. Because they are yoked together with unbelievers of all kinds, and it doesn't seem to bother them. Stop being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Can two walk together except be agreed? If one is yoked up and is unsaved, the other is saved, that's an unequal yoke. You shall not plow with an oxen and an ass together. That's a clean animal, unclean animal in the Old Testament. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth? Is an infidel. And what agreement at the temple of God with idols. You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Not says this preacher, saith the Lord. This is the verse that Harold John Ockenkay, the father of evangelicalism, despises. In fact, he's with the Lord. I believe he's saved. Certainly was false teaching in these areas. He says, we don't like these come outers. You've come out of apostasy. He doesn't like that. He says, we rather than to come out, we want to infiltrate these major denominations. That's what we were taught to do at Dallas Theological Seminary. Senator, when Dr. Schaefer was there, the founder and president, he was our teacher for 4 years, he said, go and infiltrate these denominations. See if you can bring them back to the truth. Go into the Northern Baptist Convention. Go into the United Presbyterian Church. Go into the Lutheran Church. Go into all the Episcopal Church. So on. That will never happen. The scriptures are clear. Come out from among them and be separate. God said, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's the promise of God. Stop touching unclean things. That's going to make us dirty. And new evangelicalism touches all kinds of unclean things. We've got to be clean and pure. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, affecting holiness in the fear of God. This is God's work. This is God's promise. Separate from unbelief. Don't be new evangelical. Don't be compromising. Completely separate from it. A tenth scripture verse, Galatians 1, 8 and 9, perverting the gospel. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that calleth you to the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, if we some that trouble you, would pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ has gone out and is clear. You're saved by grace through faith, you repent of your sins, and you come to Christ and you're a new creature, and you're no longer to fellowship with the wickedness of the world any longer. You're to be separate unto me. That's the gospel that Paul preached. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8. As we said before, so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than he have received, let him be accursed. Now, they have a gospel. The gospel is of amalgamation, gospel of infiltration. It's not the gospel of separation. It's not the gospel of God's grace freely given. And God says, if there's another gospel, let him be accursed. Galatians 2, verse 11. Paul withstood Peter to his face. You say, well, should we expose these men and name these men as being new evangelical? Well, of course. They're happy to be new evangelical. But we who are fundamentalists and are separatists ought to know who's on who, who's on first, who's on second, and name. Paul named names. He went and withstood Peter, who's Christian. These people are Christian brethren. I think they're still Christian brethren, most of them. If that movement continues much longer, new evangelicalism, pretty soon, they all of them won't be Christian. They'd be liberals. It moves. It moves. It moves. The new evangelical movement started with fundamentalism, moved to new evangelicalism, and it's moving closer to liberalism and unbelief. He says when Peter was come from Antioch, I was stood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that servant came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, and when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was a hypocrite in that area, and Paul withstood him to his face. In Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. That's what the Bible teaches. New evangelicalism does not reprove darkness. They have fellowship with darkness. That's unscriptural. That's ungodly. That's disobedient to the Word of God. And finally, before our questions, two more scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Withdraw yourself from every disorderly brother. Now we command you, Lord, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. We have a command in regard to disorderly brethren. They are brethren, but they're disorderly because they have failed to heed the scriptures. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Since they have failed to heed the clear script of separation, they're disorderly. And God's command for us is to withdraw ourselves from them as to close fellowship. That doesn't mean we can't talk to them, but I mean close intimate fellowship and churches, certainly. God does not want churches to have fellowship with other new evangelical churches and post-evangelistic meetings or whatever meetings. He wants us to withdraw ourselves as doctrinally from those brothers who walk disorderly. And that's a command of Scripture. And then the final verse in 1 Timothy 5:19-21. against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. An elder, pastor, bishop, elder, we believe is Baptist, all three in the same office, three different titles, were not to receive except in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then that sin, those elders, those pastors, bishops, rebuke before all that others may fear. And that's what we seek to do for those that are not following the word of God. I charge thee, therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing but partiality. One theme binds together New Evangelicalism, and that is the theme of love for people that are in the movement. And they can do almost no wrong. Sweep it under the rug. God says, them that sin rebuke before all. Almost like the Roman Catholic system. With the homosexuals and the child molesters. Just move them on to Haiti or some other place. Get rid of them from here, but go on to somewhere else. And God says, then that sin rebuke before all. And I believe, that New Evangelicalism is sin. That's just a plain fact. That's what I believe. New Evangelicalism is sin because it does not conform itself to the words of God, nor does it want to conform itself to the words of God. It is adamant against the scriptures of separation from apostasy and unbelief. Therefore, I believe it is sin, even though those that practice it are Bible-believing Christians in many other areas, but not this area of accepting of what God has said.